glory of God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We exalt you, Lord. Oh, we glorify, Father God. We honor you, Lord. And I see the cloud. And I step in.
Show me your glory. Today I'm styling by Celeste and Alberto Velasquez. You might want to give them some praise in the name of the Lord. I want to show you what they have printed out for me. The sayings, some of the sayings, I guess. And so, I'm just saying, they trademarked it. So if you say it, you got to be able to go to them and they get funds for it. If you tell your neighbor, I'm just saying, you got to give an offering or something. So, I don't know. I'm just, yeah. Thank you, guys. Give it up. They're going to have them in the back, right? If you'd like to cooperate with them, amen. Some of the folks already have them. A few of the people told me as I was stepping out, Pastor, we didn't see you last week. I'm so happy y'all noticed I wasn't here. And I want to ask you to please excuse me. I every 3 years I need to do these continuing education hours for my licenses in my electrical field, and they only offer those on weekends. So I'll only be out one more weekend in December. Please excuse me, and then I'll be back here full time. But we're thankful. Your kindness is overwhelming. We thank you for your devotion to Christ and to Temple Rock and to the family. I want to report to you and thank you for your prayers on behalf of the Merck family. Sister Merck is at home. Let's give God some glory. She's home. We're expecting a good report. And we are believing God that he is in the midst, that he will have his way with all of us. This coming week is an exciting week. Friday, we're going to have a play. It's called Dungeons and Dragons. If you have not made reservations to be here Friday, you need to do that. There's going to be an exciting, there's going to be stuff hanging off the ceiling and things coming out the walls. Minister Andrea and her team and those that are co-laboring with her have put in an enormous amount of hours in the production that we will be having on Friday. So please make sure you're here. Bring someone that needs Christ. Anybody know somebody that needs Christ? You know somebody that's unsaved? Bring them with you. Encourage them to come. Tell them if you come to the play after, I'll take you off to Dunkin' Donuts for coffee or to the diner or something like that. And you get them to get to the house of the Lord. They might bump into Jesus while they're here. I think it's an exciting thing. It's an opportunity anyway that God has given us to be able to share. And we're looking forward to next weekend, Brother Goodall. And we give God his glory and honor for the pastor appreciation team. They've done an extraordinary job. These guys and Brother Zapata, he took the day off because he was tired. But everybody knows that he's put in an enormous amount of work, and his staff. And Danny and Mari Pimentel, they took off too. They all together, they're protesting. We're done. Somebody give God some glory real quick. Come on, guys, help me here this morning. So we're thankful, we're blessed this morning. We're thankful to see you, the body of Christ. This morning we've been studying in the Word, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Tony, God bless you, mijito. Wow, I thought that was you. God bless you, son. How are you? I miss you. I love you. Oh, there's Juan Carlos. He's in front of him. Juan Carlos, God bless you. I thought he had left it. He had taken a vacation. Where's Mari? Is that Mari up there too? Yeah, she's here too. Oh, no. Please forgive me. I'm very fleshy this morning. Benny's one of the ushers. He greeted me when I got in. But I thank God for his goodness. I'm tired too. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor, tired too. And we're so thankful that God is great. We've been considering Paul's counsel and his instructions in the word to the church of Corinth. And this morning we want to continue. We're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, number 7. And if you brought your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn there in 1 Corinthians 12. And for the sake of time, we're just going to go ahead and get right into the verse number 10. It says, he gave one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 12:10. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Lord, we thank you because your word is the truth, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. He gave someone else the ability to discern, I'm reading from the New Living, whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. I want to talk about this morning a little bit. If you're taking notes, I want to start by saying this, and it's very important, a couple words of counsel, and then we'll move on quickly. Discernment is not judging the actions of the unsaved. That is not discernment. You know that people that are unsaved, Paul tells us, live by the desires of their flesh. So judging what they do is not spiritual discernment. Number 2, I think it would do as well as a church, the community of believers, if we could learn to crucify the inclination that we so often get in this flesh to judge people. Notice Paul's words here. He talks about distinguishing spirits. Here's what discernment is in its essence, although I'm going to say it in many different ways this morning. It's the ability of being able to grasp, discernment is, and comprehend things that are obscure. That's what essentially it is, discernment. But we're going to look at that, and we're going to break it down by the word. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, the Corinthian brothers and sisters, the Corinthian Christians, and he lists for them these gifts. And I'm so thankful that he did. And among the gifts, he talks about the gift of discernment, which literally means distinguishing of spirits. Or distinguishing between spirits. Or the power of discriminating between spirits. Or as the Amplified Bible says, the ability to discern and distinguish between utterances of what is true and what is false. Discernment is a special Holy Spirit-given ability that enables you and I, the church, believers, to judge a certain action or prophecy when someone speaks, or tongues, or a miracle that is being done. Discernment is to be able to differentiate between something that might be Holy Spirit initiated, satanic initiated, or merely a human spirit. Let me see if I can break that down just a little bit. If I said to you, oh man, I really don't feel good. I think I might have a stomach virus. That was not Holy Spirit initiated, was it? No. Does that mean that that is a demonic force? And let me just tell you something, guys. Just because you got a headache and an hour to come to church, stop blaming the devil. Oh, this is the devil. He don't want me to pray. Stop it. Things happen naturally and very naturally. God has a way of dealing with those situations. But certainly it is a human aspect. So you might say that it is not demonic. It is not the Holy Spirit. It's your human side. It's your human spirit. I want you to understand that as you live your lives as the body of Christ, as we do the work of ministry, many things that happen around us take on those three forms. Either the enemy is moving in a certain way, either the Holy Spirit is moving, or something just happened. And so how we look at these events and how we distinguish between them become critical. So important to us. The existence of the gift is necessary in the church when someone gives a prophetic statement or a word of knowledge is released among the assembly or a word of wisdom or teachings that claim to be from God are spoken or given. This gift is used to guard the health and the spirituality of the church, and not simply to condemn people. The gift of discernment is not for us to condemn people. It is simply there to place a hedge of protection and boundaries in all that we do so that those that might come among us will not leave more confused than they came in. Somebody shout amen. Many people don't understand your zeal. And many more don't understand why you worship and praise the way you do. And so it is our desire that when we come together, the Holy Spirit is able to minister with clarity and conviction, more of Him and less of me, less of us, less mistakes, less things that will distract. The distribution of the gift of discernment, or the gift of charismata, which is the grace gifts, is the sovereign decision of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives and the Holy Spirit empowers as He will. In verse 11 of the same chapter here, Paul tells us that all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives to each one just as He alone has determined. The gifts of the Spirit are never earned. Come on, say amen. They're not there for you to wear them as a badge of honor. They are never earned. They are freely given by the God of grace. Hallelujah. And we're so thankful that He has given them to us. Church, if you've been listening and possibly watching the things that unfold around us carefully, you've probably noticed that we are living in an age in which almost any and every religious opinion or philosophy is tolerated. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. Here's my position. As a church, we got to have a position. As your pastor, I must have a position. While we accept a person's right to their own opinion, and please understand that the minute you say, well, this is my opinion, now you have gotten off the boundaries or the scope of criticism or tests with regards to the word. Because if it's your opinion about the word, you have no opinion. It must be scrutinized. If you say, this is my opinion about oatmeal, great. I believe oatmeal cleans my colon. Amen. I believe turtle wax is the best wax. Amen. Who cares? I believe if you wear Levi jeans, they really make you look good. Who cares? But the minute you start talking about the word of God, and the minute you start expressing words like, well, this is my opinion, you have no opinion. It must be tested. I pray you get where we're going here this morning. Discerning the heart of God for the people of God, for the ministry that He alone has established. My opinion, while we accept people's rights to their own opinion and their own democratic right to freedom of worship, worship however you will, it should never, ever mean that we uncritically accept every religious teaching as equally valid. Don't ever fall into that trap. And I hear a lot of people say, well, it's the word of God. It's not that big of a difference. It's the word of God just because somebody has a title. No, it isn't. Be careful. And that is the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. To do that and to accept all words as equally valid is to invite error and to welcome deception into our churches and into our homes and into our personal lives. The Bible places a strong, extremely strong emphasis on the truth. Its own eternal and absolute truth. And God speaking through the prophets in the book of Psalms, he said, I have put my word above my name. And so when he talks about truth, and we who speak the word of God must function in the truth. Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians 1:9. He says, the living God is a God of truth. So God requires us to use three things in everything that we do. Number one, would you please, I'm begging you by the mercies of God, when you park your car outside, don't leave your brain out there with it. Bring it in with you. I'm just saying. A lot of people park their car, they don't leave the keys in them, do you? Especially when you're in a bad hood, you'd be like, make sure the doors are locked. But when you come in, bring your brain with you. God wants you to use your brain, your very natural understanding. Number two is he wants you to use your common sense. That's called your reason, your ability to reason. Well, should I have an extra piece of Snickers bar or not? Well, you already weigh 320 pounds. I don't know that you should have that piece of Snickers. Maybe you might want to give it to Pastor. I'm just saying. I don't know. Come on, somebody give God some glory. Real quick. Help me. I know y'all tired. I'm tired too. And so the Lord requires us to bring our minds, be mindful. Use common sense, which is your reason. And he also demands that we use the education that we learn in this process. He invites, come all of you. This is not blind faith. Use your mind. Use your common sense. Use your reason. Use your education. Come on in and join me. John challenges the church as he writes to the church, Jewish and Gentile. He says, learn to discern between truth and error and to identify deceivers and then avoid them. This is not simply advice. This is a command in Scripture that we learn to discern. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to learn. Verse 15 in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Paul challenges the believers there. He says, make judgments about everything. He said, judge everything. Everything where? Within the church. Everything that moves within the church. Everything that moves within Christianity. You need to judge it. He says, evaluate things. And in verse 16, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, Paul says, every believer has the mind of Christ. I think you need to understand what that means. Does that mean that if I never study the Word of God, the minute I accept God, I know everything? What that means is that my mind has been transformed. I don't think the way I used to think, but I need to learn how to think like Christ. But I'm not here to do that alone. If I get into the Word, he says, you got the mind of Christ as a believer. That means that if I am devoted to God and I am devoted to Him and I am committed to a life of studying in the Scriptures and coming together around people that study the Scriptures, I can examine then and I can scrutinize then and I can investigate all matters of the Spirit within the church, because God is not a God of indifference but a God of grace and a God of knowledge. And what He gave to me, He gave to you. And what He called me to do, He called you to do. And Paul says we have the mind of Christ to examine and scrutinize and investigate the things of God. What does that mean? It also means that when we evaluate the spiritual things that are happening around us, we'll learn to value what God values. We will learn to love what God loves. And we will learn to hate what God hates. You can use discernment. You'll be able to see. We've created this tremendous thing that you just really got to be in an unnoticed state, almost in a state of seance, to be able to discern some things. No, you don't. When you get into the Word of God, you have the mind of Christ, for you have accepted Jesus. The Holy Spirit will bring these things to you and in your spirit. He will let you see and know as you stay in the Word. What does this mean, you have the mind of Christ? It means that as Christians, you are a little spiritual giant. Notice I said a little spiritual giant. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You ain't no midget. You're a little spiritual giant. You have the mind of Christ. What does that little spiritual giant do in you? The Holy Spirit of God. It empowers you by the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to have insight. We say all of this. Let's put it together to understand what he's talking about. Insight to what? Insight to the plans of God. Insight to God's purposes within your personal life and among the body of Christ. You ought to be able to, if you've been coming to Temple Rock for some time, distinguish, be able to see the move of this ministry. What are these people about? Well, if you don't know, we're a group of people from different nations and different tongues, different nationalities, black, white, yellow, pink, Spanish, English, Italian, Mercuries, Hindus, Indians, Afghanistanis, Iraqis, that love the Lord with all our heart, and we're here in the city of Newark to make a difference. To make a difference by the Spirit of God and the mind of Christ. That's who we are, and that's what we're doing, and it is not by power nor by might. And I thought, Lord, as I was putting this thing together, why do you love us so much? What motivated you to do all of this and give us so many gifts, and why do we need them? And so many things comes to my mind as I'm in the Word. I said, Lord, help me to see, help me to understand. What do you want me to tell these knuckleheads on Sunday? What is it that you want me to share? Here's what he want me to tell you, guys. I gave you these gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, to show you, to demonstrate to you that I know and that I understand and that I care for you. Guys, he gave us the gifts of the Spirit because he loves us. He gave us the gift of the Spirit so that we might finish the work that he has called us to do. Thank you, Lord. You might face a situation in your life. I might face a situation in my life that demands certain wisdom, hallelujah, that I have not had enough time to gain experience or develop. You and I may face a circumstance that demands knowledge, the knowledge of God, a gift that we spoke about 4 or 5 weeks ago, beyond any training, beyond any education that you and I might have gained in the natural. We may also face powers of the darkness that rise up so that you would get frustrated, and so that you would become unfocused, and so that you would become confused, and so that you would come to church and be sleepy and yawning and blowing bubbles and looking at who's wearing what you bought and look at who looks better than you do and who cut their hair and who didn't cut their hair and the color they're wearing and the clothes they're wearing. Hallelujah. You're going to find that the enemy wants to destroy you. The powers of darkness rise up against you. He is seeking to destroy the work of God. That means you. And those are the moments when the spirit of discernment overpower the church of Jesus Christ to help us to do the work of ministry. Those are the moments when the Spirit of God shows up. I need an answer. And the Spirit of God shows up and gives you an answer of wisdom, of discerning of spirits, of knowledge that you did not have. The Holy Spirit of God will impart it in the moment that you and I need it. It is not natural to us, but he does it because he does it, and can nobody curse what God blesses. The Holy Spirit of God will help us to discern the works of the enemy, will help us to see them. Discernment includes head and heart and spirit. I like to call it body works. I know there's a place out there, Bed Bath and Beyond. I know that. But this is Holy Spirit body works. This is Holy Spirit body works. I don't know. Let me break this down just a little bit. We think and then we speak. We listen and then we wait. We feel and we are moved. We have these physical sensations and response. It is all, hallelujah, the whole person that's in the process. It's not just your head, and it's not just your heart, and it's not just your feet. It is all of you. Because discernment is based on the trust that God is our resource, that God is in the midst of all that he is doing to accomplish the will of the Father. He already knows what you need. He's just expecting for you to move. Hallelujah. Discernment is letting God be larger, letting God be wiser, letting God be greater than you or I could ever be alone. Come on and give God glory. Larger, wiser, greater than we could ever be. Discerning God and letting him have his way with each one of us. So here's a question that came naturally to my mind. Turn to your neighbor and thank him for being here this morning. Here's a question. I'm a person of questions. I love questions. They demand an answer. Here's a question. How is it possible that apostasy divisions might happen among us? Maybe it's in a well-intended small group that just wanted to go to somebody's house and pray. Or maybe it was another group that wanted to have a Bible study at their home. How is it that this happened? Let me answer the question. I suggest to you, church, that one part in the equation of why those things happen. I talked to another guy yesterday. I bumped into him into a restaurant. Hey, how you doing? Doing great. Yeah, how's the church? Oh, well, we just went through a division. I said, buddy, how can you go through a division? You only had 30 people. You got to be sick. How can you have 30 people and go through a division? If you got 10, you're going to go through a division. What is happening? How is this possible? It's a likely question, isn't it? Let me offer my suggestions. This is, once again, my position. How can this possibly happen? Part of the problem is that we have leaders leading that don't have the gifts. The loss of discernment regarding the dangers and the misuse of the gifts of the Spirit, what does that cause? It caused doctrinal indifference. You don't care about the doctrine. What doctrine? We're all spirit. We ain't got nothing to do with doctrines. Well, if that's the case, just get out here on Broadway. Don't say that I said you to do it, but forget that sign that says 35 miles an hour. Do 70. Who cares? That's only the city that puts that up there. Tell me what happens. And when a church and its leader aren't able to doctrinate their people, and we become doctrinally illiterate and doctrinally indifferent, we don't talk about these things. We only talk about the tongues and the moving around and what we're feeling and the goosebumps and look at my hair, it's stuck on end. Maybe, you know, maybe you could use some scope while you're at this, a little Listerine or something like that. That's what we're into. We're into superficial things that cost us nothing when it comes to the price we need to pay in leading. I surrender to you, and this is only my opinion, you don't have to agree, that leaders who lead people into apostasy and these divisions look for the cooperation of the doctrinally relaxed people in that congregation. The people that have no concern for Bible study Wednesday. The people that know already all that they need to know to carry out their agenda. And guys, this is a pattern that is repeated throughout the Bible. It is not now. It is not new for this era. It is all the way imprinted throughout the Bible. The people that are doctrinally lazy, and every church has one, don't nobody yell amen. We don't need no amens right about now. But the cooperation of those that are doctrinally insane, because it's spiritual suicide, not to live a life of study, has often permitted these folks, I don't know, whatever you want to call, I call them an apostate because they are enemies of Christ, to begin these little small factions within the church, or even single individuals have been strongly influencing others, leading them astray. And then we say, what happened? How could this happen in the church? How could this be possible? I'll tell you how it could be possible, because the leader is ill-equipped to lead, but they're leading. I'm just saying. You don't have to agree. I'm just telling you. And that's why a lot of people have fits with me, and a lot more people come, and then they go and they do different things, because I speak it just the way it is. I'm not going to dress it for you. I'm not going to put whipped cream on it. If you're confused, I'm going to tell you, you're confused. Just the way it is. Because I can't afford to be found not faithful by the one that called me. I have a holy call of God. And the first thing a leader does is a leader leads by influence. First thing that ought to come out of you is a leadership influence, a magnetism that everybody just wants to be by you. They don't even like you, and they're talking good about you. They hate you, and they're buying you suits. I'm just saying. Ain't nobody bought me any. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that for... I could use a new pair of kicks, though. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's very fleshy. But you guys know what I'm talking about, right? That's why so many people dislike Temple Rock. Because you have the doctrine that confronts. It's like you got this little spiritual cop in the church. People like places that are real accepting and real tolerating of confusion and you know, just leave things in the gray areas. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Let's ask the pastor. Well, I don't know either. Let's all pray about it. What, are you kidding me? Jesus gave us all the instructions right here. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what we pray. We pray people into heaven. And we pray that God reveals the workings of the enemy. But the wisdom of God comes through the inspiration of the word that is already written. I just need to stop being lazy and get in the word. Somebody say, get in the word.
Get in the word.
Stay in the word.
Stay in the word.
So as we learn, church, to discern between what is good and evil, between what is right and what is wrong, we will be able to unmask these different movements that are, listen, this subject here is probably one of the most boring for the super hyper spiritual people. Because it's really not that hypo spiritual, that unknown. It's really quite simple. And so it becomes a boring teaching for some. Is there anything else here today? Yeah, let me tell you what we got today. What's on the menu? Anybody want to know what's on the menu? Stop running from God. I know some of you are here this morning. I see some new faces, and I want you to know that the same Christ that you left in the other place you were at is here. And I want you to know that he still loves you. Even if you left outside his will, he still loves you. And he's willing to work with you. Jesus came to earth with one mission. Luke 19 and 10 gives us the missions. He says, for he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In the process, he gave us the tools that we needed. How could I send somebody out to do work and not give them the tools? Gave us a toolbox. He gave us fruits. He gave us gifts. He gave us so many other things by the Spirit of God so that we might finish his work. Because it is not by our own understanding. We don't know nothing. He knows everything. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, if I got the mind of Christ, when I need to know something, he'll give it to me. That's what the gifts of the Spirit is all about. But in the interim, every one of us is making decisions. Every one of us is drawing conclusions. Every one of us is dressed different. We like different things. How many people like the Jets? See? Four people. How many people like the Giants? See? See? And we don't like no other teams in this church. I know that. I'm just saying. But we all like different things. And we all do different things. But in the interim of the work of God, the ministry, we can't have a free-for-all. There has to be order because God is a God of order. And everything that happens in the church of God has to be subject to the very word of God. Otherwise, we're outside the boundaries and the power of Scripture. And isn't it awesome to know that you belong to a house that honors the word of God? Isn't it awesome to know that God reigns supreme and that the Holy Spirit of God will be able to roll freely in the church of God? And you know what I've discovered is that because he is the designer of this, he's the engineer and the architect of this, when it really is him, he don't move outside of this. If you're ever in a group, a prayer group, and you hear things like, well, a prophetic word or somebody prophesying something like, well, you guys are a special group, and you guys, I'm going to give you a special word to prepare you for, to know that in May 15th of the following year, I'm going to come. You know that that's off the mark. You know that. Don't ever think that you're more special than the person right next to you. We're all at the same baseline. We're all just as important to the Lord. He's not going to reveal something to somebody else that's not in the Scripture and not reveal it to you. God is a God of grace and a loving God. And so we must learn to weigh the evidence in the balance. What balance? The Word of God. Everything that happens in the church, we got to weigh it to the Word of God and decide what represents truth and what represents a lie. And let me just tell you that sometimes a truth and a lie is stuck in the middle by something called deceit. Did you know that in every deceit there's a little bit of truth? Did you guys know that? The enemy always starts by saying, well, it is written, and then he'll say something, and he'll mix it up with something else, and he'll make an abortion of it. And if we're not able to discern something, listen, sometimes people will tell you something, and it's true. Sometimes people will tell you something like it's true, and it's a lie. When is a lie really a lie? When they tell you something that they know is wrong to be true. Some people will say something that's wrong, but they're so dumb, they're believing it to be a truth. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Did that fly right? I don't think that flew right. Yeah. And so we need to be real careful. All in the midst of all of that is the movement of the Spirit of God. How do we discern God's thoughts? How do we discern what the Word of God is telling us? In the world that we're living in today, a lot of people say, wait a second, buddy. Don't judge me. How about it? Well, what's our position as a church? Well, once again, I go to the North Arlington Diner. I'm not going to judge you. If you want to eat 5,000 calories, go ahead. Pig out. I don't care. But when it comes to this, it doesn't apply. Is it simple? Is that simple? Don't judge me because I'm speeding. Good. Go faster. Yeah, go faster. I don't care. Go ahead and knock yourself into the Passaic River. See if I care. I'm just saying. But when it comes to this, you better not go off the mark if you're next to me, because I'm going to let you know. And so we use one thing to say another. Don't judge me. You're right. You want to wreck yourself? Let me tell you that the number one thing that the devil wants you to do, he wants you to crash into the wall. He wants you to get depressed, stop living. He wants you to kill yourself. Did you know that? And so we use things like, don't judge me, even though you're living a crazy lifestyle. And we show concern, and you say it's judging. In the middle of all of that is the discernment of the Spirit. It's quite simple. It really is. Your actions, you will give an account for your actions. The violation of the truth of God's word is very different. Many people think that the culture creates for us a value systems and that it is autonomous in itself. Sometimes what happens is we're irrational and we're self-destructive in our behavior. And the devil wants you to destroy your family. He wants you to destroy your life. A lot of people today don't know how to judge between good and evil, right and wrong. They think it's relevant. Let's use relevancy. No way. You got to go by the Word of God. Even professing Christians today use a systems of measure that is exactly a copying of the world. Well, God knows I'm weak, so I had sex with so-and-so. He just knows. He knows. He knows I went to that family gathering and they were drinking, and instead of you walking away or saying no thanks, you said, well, I'll just have one. One turned to two, two turned to three. Next thing you know, you was talking about God. You forgot where you were in the message because you got so happy under the anointing. Listen, guys, there are many advantages to gaining an education. In this day in which we're living, this is a day of knowledge. This is a day of increased wisdom, explosions of wisdom that we ought to learn. And that is good. We all ought to learn. Let me tell you, the church must also continue to grow. You can't live your lifestyle like you used to, because today's kids are confronting things that are completely different than we confronted when we were teenagers. You need to grow. You need to make some decisions and not just pick up the phone. Oh, Pastor, what do I do? If you would have been here last week, you would know. And then the following week is the same thing. What do I do now, Pastor? Get your hind end to church. You'll know what to do, because the wisdom of God will slowly start to come into your life in a powerful way. And all of a sudden you have this peace. Where you used to panic, now there's peace. Where you used to go crazy because you didn't know what to do, all of a sudden you say, well, wait a second. Let me look into the Word of God before I call Sister So-and-so. If there was ever a day that we need to grow by the Word of God, is today. You know how many new ideas are in the church? We're doing multimedia like we've never done. We're doing phone ministries, and that's the church. They're calling it the church. All you got to do is call in. Somebody gives you a prophetic word. We're calling a movement. We got singing churches. We got all praying churches. We got churches that only believe in healing. We got only churches that speak in tongues. We got churches where everybody's a pastor. We got churches where nobody's a pastor. We got churches saying, no, we don't have a pastor. We just move by whatever the Spirit says. And they grab somebody from the chair. You're preaching today. Who, me? No, yeah, you're preaching today. I feel it. Person ain't even prayed, ain't even equipped, ain't even ready, haven't done nothing. We got people playing instruments that are in sin. We got people singing that ought to be down there crying before the Lord, asking God, don't strike them dead. We got all this movement going on in the churches. We got churches dripping oil, all this flattering with gold. We got whistles and bells and Torahs. We got all kind of stuff. You black or Puerto Rican, and you got a Jewish star saying, I'm a Jewish. No, you confused, buddy. That's what you are. Let me just tell you, we got all these movements happening in the church, and if we ever lived in a day where we need to really find who we are, hallelujah, this is the day. Somebody shout glory! This is it, guys. How do we know? How do we know when something is from God, and how do we know when something ain't from God? How do we know? Well, God has gifted us with discernment, that we might be faithful in what we're doing. So what do we do? Here we go. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. John gives us this counsel. He says, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. If somebody ever gave a word to you and said, no, you just need to believe what I'm going to tell you. If you doubt God, God is not going to bless you with this word. That is not God. He said, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false pastors in the world. Your version might say false prophets. Same thing, one that speaks in the name of the Lord. Please understand, when you hear the word Spirit in today's culture, let me see if I can break this down, the many implications that they give it, or synonyms or antonyms. People talk about their spirit. They're talking about an idea. Oh, I got an idea from the Spirit. You still got to weigh it. They could be talking about an idea. They could be talking about a certain influence. They could be talking about a certain feeling. They could be talking about a certain writing. I wrote this together. The Spirit gave me this to give to you. They could be talking about a certain inspiration. Here's the spiritual truth. Not every person, and not everything that even you or I feel or say comes from God. Not everything people say comes from God. Not everything people feel comes from God. And guys, listen to me. Don't get driven or distracted by the... Stop it. Stop that nonsense. That's show. Today, in order for people not to question what we're saying, we get into all these myths and all these different things. Let me tell you that the devil is a master in disguise. He is a master in disguise. Matthew tells us that Satan dresses up in sheep clothing, but on the inside, he's a wolf. He's nothing but a wolf. In fact, look at the person next to you. Take a sniff. See if they smell like sheep or wolf. Take a sniff real quick. Here's the spiritual truth. You need to write this down. For every good thing God does or provides, Satan produces a counterfeit. Guys, you need to write that down. For every good thing God does or provides, Satan produces a counterfeit. He produces a counterfeit. Let me break it down like this. Where there is a Christ, there's an antichrist. Come on. Where there are prophets, there are false prophets. Where there is a gospel, there is a false gospel. That is why it is so important for those whom God has gifted with the gift of discernment. Listen to me, guys. Please stay awake when you come to church. I see some of you, you're just sleeping. You're out. And I'm saying, man, it's only 10:30 in the morning. What have you been doing all night? Could I tell you that it's irresponsible to live a lifestyle of going to bed at 12 and 1 o'clock in the morning, and you got to be in the church the next morning early? We've relegated the church, and that, well, we'll fit it in. The church ought to be the center, and everything else fit around the church. But we run our lifestyles like that, and so we're irresponsible. Well, what time is it? 11 o'clock? Oh, yeah, Sister So-and-so want me to go visit her. And you come back home at 1:30 in the morning, then you come back to church, and you're half asleep with bad breath, bad attitude, you ain't eat nothing. Can I tell you something else too? Get something to eat before you come to church. I usually try to fast. Try to fast on a day you don't come to church, because too many of you, "I'm pastor, I'm fasting." You got a bad attitude though. Don't fast and come to church hungry. Have your bad attitude during the week. Come to church happy. Come on, come to church happy. Come on, guys. You need to stay awake when you come to the church. We've already learned through these last 7 weeks, there's a moment between worship where all of a sudden God might break out with a word of knowledge, might break out with tongues and interpretation of tongues. But if you're half asleep, "Oh, that was a good movie last night." And somebody else's breakthrough depends on you. God can't count on you. I'm sure he can't. I see some of you, I'm saying, like, what in the world is going on in the church? We don't tithe God our time, our best. We give him leftovers. I'm just saying. God has given, I believe, an uncanny ability to these folks that he uses in specific ways to detect a certain ring of reality. "Well, this is gold." Well, take it to the jeweler and see. But the Holy Spirit is in the church. He gives you an uncanny ability to be able to see the ring of reality. You know how many people I've had to sit right where you are, and after church, what they're doing is waiting for pastor to walk by to tell me their ministry. In 2 minutes, they'll tell me their ministry. They'll tell me how many churches they've been to and why they need to come to this church and preach. And how many more on the way out will give me an album or a CD because God's anointed them to sing and they got to come here to sing. You know how much of that goes around? And people calling in the front office, missionaries from all over the place. They want to come. They want to speak. They want to preach. They got different things. And that's the mistakes we make. We parade people in and out of the church. We confuse the people. They don't know. They forgot what our mission is. You'll be able to spot a phony when God gives you the spirit of discernment. And when you do, it's so that you can confront that person, not gossip about them. That's when you know it's the gift of suspicion versus the gift of discernment. The gift of suspicion doesn't have the boldness to tell the person in the face. What we do is we go tell other people what we feel about that person. That's suspicion. That's not a gift. The gift of discernment, you'll face them straight on and say, "Brother, I think you got a bad attitude. Are you sure you've been prayed up and heard of God to tell me that?" I think it's really important. I like to say the way Jesus sift out Peter, you sift out the wheat. You can't just swallow anything. There's also a saying to define that. It's called smell a rat. I smell a rat. Don't smell the person next to you now. Now's not the time. Let me tell you that there's too many Christian charlatans. That's the Spanish word, charlatani. There's too many Christian charlatans in the church. Did I make that up? No, I didn't make that up. I did. Oh. And you know what they do? They go around preying on gullible people. And they go around preying on gullible churches. When I first moved in here, we bought this building, I had a couple that came to us and said, "We've been missionaries all our lives." I said, "Really?" I said, "Where are you a missionary to?" And they told us the country. He said, "God sent us here." I said, "Great, awesome." And a couple weeks passed by, they confront me again. "Pastor, I need to talk to you." "Okay. Yeah, we feel in our spirit that God has chosen you to bless us and send us back out to that country." I said, "Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for that word." Just let it sit. A couple weeks after that, came back to me and said, "Pastor, when are you going to send us out?" And then I had to sit with them. And I said, "Listen, before God sent you to me, he sent me to these people. And I know your desire is to go back to that place. But if you're looking for somebody to pay for your vacation, you're in the wrong church." Two weeks after that, they felt their time here was finished. And they moved on. Jesus already had warned us, in a day where we are cluttered for loyalty and everybody's clamoring for your money, you don't even need to watch a television evangelist too much to hear them say, like, "Partner with me, partner with me." Well, here's the other question. Can you get a hold of them when you need them? Because you're called to partner in the ministry that's building you. You can't go down here to Burger King or White Castle and go up there and pay at McDonald's, could you? You got to pay where you eat. But there's too many charlatans in the church. We want to go here, and we want to go there, and we want to give half our tithes to that pastor, and bishop so-and-so, and priest so-and-so, and apostle so-and-so, and we have fragmented the work of the Lord. And discernment comes to make sure. I like to call discernment. If you're taking notes, you might want to, so when we do our Wednesday readings, David, it's called the acid test. Let me tell you, when you put too many things to acid, they don't hold the test. Acid has a way of eating stuff. And the Word of God is like the acid test of false people and false doctrines and what people say. Anytime people get anxious and over-anxious to get the end result, you got to be suspicious. Let time, the best thing you have is time on your side. You got people cluttering for your money. You got people cluttering for your loyalty. You got people telling you what they felt from God that you're supposed to do for them. You got immorality and cults. You got astrologists in the church. You got Moonies and Jehovah Witnesses in the church. You got Mormons. You got exorcists in the church. You even got people that do astrology and cards, and they watch Walter Mercado. I don't watch him, but some of the people watch him in the church. They get their breakfast with him in the morning. And then they tell you different things. Let me tell you that Peter goes into a city. And I'll be done with this, discernment. There was a girl in the city, sorcerer. And she started clamoring. Notice what she said when they came by to walk, Peter and John. He said, "These are servants of the Most High." Now, is there anything wrong with that? Really, is there anything wrong with that? On the face, is there anything wrong with that? Somebody said, "Well, Pastor, you're really anointed." I love what T.D. Jakes says. T.D. Jakes said, people that tell you they honor you don't honor you. Honor is something you show. You don't tell. And these people that go around with all these sayings, look at what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that he turned around and he became indignant. She wasn't lying. They were servants of God. Well, why did he become indignant? Because what the devil was doing was mocking them. How did he know it? Through the discernment of the Spirit. And he said, "Shut up and leave her." And they just about killed him because they used to live off of that girl in that city. So could I encourage you to just be careful with your words? You don't need to kiss up to nobody. You don't need to suck up to nobody. Be you. Be you. And allow God to do the work that he's going to do in the ministry. We're not about just sucking up and kissing. We're about loving the ministry. It means loving people that stink. Loving the people that curse, loving people that don't smell right, loving people that haven't had a change of clothes, loving people that don't like you, loving people that that have hurt you. It's about loving people. It's about allowing God to use you to bless somebody. That is the ministry. It ain't about nothing else. That's all the ministry is about. Discerning, the gift of discerning. It will take you places you've never been. Lord, I bless your people. I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to share. Let us rise to our feet. Let me give you the pastoral blessing, and we go on our homes. Father, I thank you for these. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. You are dismissed. God bless you. We love you, and we thank you for being here this morning.
Joy that makes my faith to stand.